A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Liverpool are taking on Crystal Palace, the first game back at Anfield since the lockdown. And we're not going to mention what the last game was because let's just all expunge that from our memories. But it is Crystal Palace. It's going to be a weird situation watching it, of course, from home, when we should be bouncing on the cop. We should be getting one step closer to lifting that elusive Premier League title. But no, we're going to be doing a live commentary once again, me and Chris, but more on that a little bit later on. I have the man with me, Mr. Chris Bajak. I have Ross Chandley and I have Georgia Stevens for this one. And Chris, let's kick things off. Roy Hodgson, Crystal Palace, they've come back pretty strong so far, beating Bournemouth 2-0. Obviously, we have to put the disappointment of not smashing the Ev behind us and get on with this game. But it's mad, really, isn't it? You know, there's obviously a game where Liverpool, as ever, you know, would be expected to win it. But it's just, it's a thing I'm excited about. I want to see what we've done with Anfield, first and foremost.
Yeah, I am as well, mate. And, you know, I don't think I've ever used this analogy before I answer that poll about football, but it's like buses. None for fucking 3 months, and then two come along at once, and it's crazy, isn't it? Like, fucking hell, three days and we've got another game of footy. I mean, I don't have to wait 100-plus days for another game of football. I'm excited to see it. I want to see what's on the cop. I really do. I've been watching games and thinking, oh, come on, that's great that you've got all this, but what are Liverpool going to do here? I mean, if there's not a giant picture of Kenny Dalglish in his fucking stand, we're doing it wrong for a start. I want all the European Cup winning managers in a big banner of some description. There's loads of stuff I kind of liked what Everton did with the Gladys Street. I think it was their Gladys Street. I'm not sure. Those wooden ends all look the same to me. But I'd like to see some kind of big mosaic on the cop or something like that, even like a permanent memorial for the 96, maybe somewhere around the place. Less of the crap sponsors from all around the world. More of the fan stuff. Hopefully they've taken something with Brian Cop 1906 or Spirits of Shankly, taken some ideas from some of them. Had some of the big old banners, you know, the Mönchengladbach one and the frog leg and all that. I'd love to see all that type of stuff there. But
yeah,
you know, more importantly is that Liverpool return properly and Liverpool pick up their game a little bit. And, you know, we saw Arsenal had a poor start. They have had two games in quick succession, lost both of them. hopefully Liverpool can change things up and really go and take it to Crystal Palace. And they should do, because we're the better side. And we're the better side against every team we go up against between now and the end of the season. But now we need to go out and prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Georgia, you know, the one thing we know about Liverpool is that they're very good at bouncing back from disappointments, and make no bones about it. As much as, you know, I think we were rightly, we gave it the right amount of praise out to Everton after that game, because I think they probably deserved a little bit more than us in the game, given the balance of chances created. But this side, you know, and this might be hampered by who we have and who we don't have available to us, but there will be a greater burning passion from these lads. If there was anything in their heads that said this is going to come back and be a procession, at least drawing against Everton should have blown that off their heads.
Yeah, and I think Virg said it after the game in his post-match. He said as well, it's like the first game's out of the way. There were so many unknowns going into that game, like from the changing rooms, being a porter cabin, from getting to the ground, getting from the ground, all the kind of intricacies that go on behind the scenes before you even step foot on the pitch. That's all done now. They know what to expect. If it's anything easier than that, then happy days. But they've got that out the way now. So to be able to now go into a game at Anfield and things like that, I think it'll just be that little bit easier than it was.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's something that's quite often mentioned in like UFC or boxing or something, you know, but it's never really mentioned in football because it never really happens, a big break like this. But, you know, fighters need to get hit and they need to remember what it feels like to get hit before they can go out there and give their all. And Liverpool needed to get through 90 minutes of football to make sure that each individual player knew that the body can get through that 90 minutes of football and remember everything that they've gone through and worked for so hard. So Liverpool will be much better having just completed 90 minutes, as will every side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's all really spot on, isn't it, Ross? Is that we can't know. It's really tough to build up, just to be perfectly honest, because so much of the standard analysis kind of goes out the window. We're dealing with an almost impossibly small sample size. We know the mentality of this players. We know how big they are in terms of, we know how committed they are. We know how talented they are. And so a lot of this is just basically down to what we know in general terms about this side. And then it's, you know, we've just got to trust that those all add up to a Liverpool side that's more than capable of bouncing back and being better than everyone else in these trying circumstances.
Yeah, as I said in the final words, about gaining rhythm and confidence and what both Chris and George have both just said, you know, it's getting used to playing football again. And the thing with coming back in, what George said about, you know, not playing football, getting used to your surroundings, stuff like that. The added fact was it was a derby as well. And the cliche that always goes with that is form goes out the window. Well, there was no form anyway in the first place. So, like, just get used to playing football again. I think you get back to Anfield, you've got, you know, minutes under your belt, so you've got a target to achieve. You can go for it. Yeah, the crowd won't be there, but, you know, they'll still be in familiar surroundings, they'll still be in their own changing rooms, they'll still have like, their own routines going into the game. I think, you know, those small marginal, you know, wins will play into the minds. I think they'll be concentrating on 3 points and getting a step closer to winning the league.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at time of recording, we don't know the fitness situations around a number of the players, Chris, but you'd like to hope that if Mohamed Salah was fit enough to be on the bench against Everton, at least, then he should be able to be fit enough to take some part in this game. And I think particularly with the City game looming after this, and the fact that there's over a week between the games for us, really, if he's going to be available for City, he's probably going to have to figure in this one.
Yeah, I hope he gets at least 45 minutes, to be honest. And I wonder whether that will be the case. And, you know, we alluded to it on the final word about Klopp maybe making a decision about 45 minutes for each player. Mohamed Salah could be one of those players where I think, you know, you bring him on. Is it more advantageous to play in first half or second? My natural inclination is to say second half. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you get him on first half and we get a goal up, does that make everything just that little bit easier in the second half for the lads on the field? So I don't know, but I do think that he will play 45 minutes, and I think it's important that he has to, because coming up against Manchester City, that's a big one for us, isn't it? You know, and again, this all might change because of the Manchester City Burnley game. Mm-hmm. You know, if the unthinkable happens and Burnley get a win, then fucking hell, he's playing 90 minutes, and then that's it for a few weeks, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, it is a good point, isn't it? Obviously, I think the situation's relatively fluid, but you imagine, George, if our logic on this is correct, that Klopp is just going to be using this game. You know, he's going to be rotating his squad, getting them all up to fitness from between now and the end of the season. That he'll know what he's going to do, and the only thing that's going to make him deviate from that is fitness reports that tell him he can't use players for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I think we didn't really touch on it in the final word, but the idea that, you know, that every sort of little marginal gain Klopp gets as well, you've got to throw into that mix of, like, the sports science side and the things that we have behind the scenes as Liverpool. So if there is a plan, again, we never know, and we will probably never know. There's probably a plan somewhere of, like, this is the projected time period that we need them in order for them to be fit by blah, blah, blah. And I, like you said, I don't see him not sticking to that no matter what happens. It's a much bigger picture than, you know, get those 5 points as quickly as we can so we can lift the truck. It's that long term of how do we make sure these players are fit, in form, and hitting the ground running for the first game next season too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're coming up against Crystal Palace, as mentioned. They got a 2-0 win against Bournemouth in the return game. And I'll be honest, I've not paid attention to Crystal Palace pretty much at all this season, Chris. And it's telling that, you know, the whispers in the media are starting to come out that, you know, they've got their eyes on Europe. I mean, and rightly so, you know, the ninth in the Premier League at the moment. They're just 2 points behind Sheffield United. Obviously, everyone was touting for, could they be pipping their way into even like a Champions League spot only, you know, last week and what have you. You know, we don't know how Tottenham are going to adapt. You trust they'll be okay. You don't quite know what's going to... I mean, they're above Arsenal at this point. Palace, you know, Roy Hodgson is Roy Hodgson. Palace are what they are. They have caused us problems down the years. We've largely managed to find a way to get the better over them. But it shouldn't be underestimated that this is a Palace side who, you know, they've actually got something to play for. Mm. So it's not going to be, this game isn't going to be a procession.
No, it's not. And I think, you know, I don't know whether I heard it on Match of the Day or whether it was on the game the other day, but, you know, they're on course for their best league finish since 1991, you know, and Crystal Palace have been in the league. Oh, yes, they've been a bit of a yo-yo club down the years, but, you know, I'd say off the top of my head, over half of the Premier League seasons have they been in. It certainly feels like in recent years they've been, you know, there or thereabouts. And that's pretty impressive for what Roy's done, isn't it? You know, with that Palace side. And we know that, you know, we know who their danger player is. Of course, it's Will Zaha and stuff like that. But we're going to have to be wary of them, I think, and show them a little bit of respect. But ultimately, we need to do a better job of imposing our will on the game, because that's, I think, what led us down against Everton.
Yeah, it's just an interesting run of fixtures. Looking at them after they play us, they've got Burnley, Leicester, Chelsea, Villa, United, Wolves, and Palace. You know, Tottenham. In Tottenham, Wolves, United, maybe they could actually, you know, again, this European qualification loss could kind of be in their own hands. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd like us to put them in the place just because of the Roy Hodgson factor. But yeah, it is going to be, there's a number of clubs, I think, who are floating around, a lot of people have kind of written off. And when you consider Arsenal's plight, you know, what Jose Mourinho went from being just like an absolute pig in shit to looking like he was a man in shit by the end of the game the other day. You know, there's a lot of expectation on those bigger clubs to establish things. Someone like a Crystal Palace, you know, could be coming up on the rails here with very little pressure on them, but loads of potential to succeed.
Yeah, the pressure's not there for Crystal Palace, and it might be the best chance to get European football that you might get, because you expect those teams that you mentioned to kind of improve or get better. You know, the race for fourth spot in European football used to be all the rage for the past 10 years as a Liverpool fan, and now it's like the race for eighth place, because no fucker wants it, do they, at this stage? So why wouldn't they take advantage of that when they come up against Liverpool? And this isn't being arrogant, I don't think there's any expectancy for Crystal Palace to really get anything from that game, so why shouldn't they just go for it and then think, well, if we don't get anything from it, then we've still got some decent teams to play, you know. And there's a couple of interesting fixtures coming up between those between fourth spot and eighth spot in the remainder of the league. You know, it could easily change. You know, two, three games, you can see Crystal Palace in fifth spot potentially.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about it when you do. Like, but looking at the back of the Liverpool game, then Georgian, and we spoke quite a bit about Naby Keita on the final word. Like, really encouraging to see him back in. What we hadn't realised when me and Chris were doing the build up, he played. I think he was only in, so I think it was 11% of the starting 11s for Liverpool in the Premier League this season. That was a big step forward for him to get that start against Everton. And it does make you wonder. We've talked about Klopp getting the plate spin and getting as many of his players up to fitness, and whether Naby Keita's withdrawal kind of tells you that he wants to get him more and more involved. I mean, look at the Gini Wijnaldum thing. Gini plays. When Gini's fit, he starts for us almost exclusively. You know, he's played a hell of a lot of football, but we do know his contract situation is looming. You know, there's a chance that Gini might well move on in the coming, you know, in the next year. And it's kind of, you know, we're entering into a situation where we do really need to get Keita up to speed. So, you know, is this for you, Naby Keita, given the performance, given his substitution, you just go again on him for this?
Yeah, I definitely would. And I think the performance against Everton and the minutes he got was important as well for the fans, because he's come out of that game kind of as the man of the match of why have we took him off? There's a bit of an uproar of why didn't we keep him going? Whereas in previous, it's been every time he's kind of started or he's appeared, like we didn't quite get what we expected. He was good, but there was no kind of buzz about him, and that was the. That's massive to get kind of, again, we're talking going into next season. I think to get people's support back behind a player is massive. Yeah. And, you know, to see him get another good run out at Crystal Palace, I think that'll be great.
I think there's another thing I'd like to add on to that, and it's about, you know, what Jürgen said when Adam Lallana's contract was extended. I think, you know, he said Lallana made it clear and Jürgen made it clear that it was about, you know, he probably won't have the opportunities that he's had earlier on in the season because we do know that he's leaving. And I think that, you know, I'll talk for myself here, maybe not a lot of other people, but I certainly thought that meant the likes of Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott would get more game time because they're the future, almost completely and exclusively forgetting that Naby Keita and Takumi Minamino probably fit really well into that. So after, you know, it's easy with hindsight to look back and go, oh God, do you know what? Maybe he wasn't talking about fucking Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones. Maybe he was talking about the two lads there that are probably going to be first teamers next season. And so I hope that we do see Naby Keita in this game. I do think he was the best player on the pitch for Liverpool, outfield certainly, against Everton. I want him to build on that and I want him to improve it and just show us exactly what it is that he can bring to this side.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, Ross. I think we're all... He's the one I think people have got the most lingering doubts over, and it's not necessarily... There's probably some people who don't think he's a good footballer because they've not seen enough of him, and that's fair. You know, you've got to put it in, not just in fleeting moments. And if you're not that kind of... If you're not mentally that way inclined, which I think a lot of football fans aren't, you know, he's got lots and lots of work to do to win people over. Naby Keita, personally, from what I've seen him, I can see he's an absolute player. You know, you can see what he does, the way he buzzes around. He makes our front three, a front four very quickly. And he adds an extra dimension to our attacking play. We saw a little bit of that in the Everton game and linking up with Firmino. We saw it in the build-up to, like, the Club World Cup and stuff like that. He was just hitting a little bit of a run of form. But again, the big lingering doubt is going to be over his fitness. And That's what this last, you know, well, now 8 games is for him, really, is that he's got to show that he's capable of being on the pitch more regularly, because he's not going to have a future at Liverpool if he can't get involved.
Yeah, and he's the one player that should have taken advantage of not a pandemic, but, you know, obviously having 3 months off and getting that fitness. And even if it's not just fitness, I think we're also separated from footballers at times where you think, you know, he's a young lad, he's come to a different country, a new culture, new surroundings, new teammates, new boss. And I think that just gets eradicated because he has loads of money. We don't understand that. You know, we always see, you know, players hit the ground running. That happens, but it doesn't happen for everyone. So I think you can give him a bit more time in that sense. Again, you know, marry that with his injuries, you know, and maybe his fitness on top of that. But from Gini's perspective, I think he might feel a bit aggrieved to not start games. Like you said, if he's fit, he starts. And particularly look at Crystal Palace, and they're a physical side of, you know, in that midfield. And you've got, like correctly Chris said, like Zaha on one side and Jordan Ayew on the other. You need someone who's going to track back and defend and help out the fullbacks and cover for them. I think that's where Gini comes in for that game. But, you know, on the other side, if they're going to sit back and defend like Everton did, you need a Naby Keita to come in and use that link-up play. So it's about balance, I think, for Liverpool.
I wonder, Chris, whether, you know, and again, I keep referencing it, we just don't know enough about this football that we're watching. But we kind of, you know, when you look at the fitness stuff, Liverpool have been geared up now. For a year we've switched from being a counter pressing side to being a more possession based side, because you need to be able to be that. You need to be a team that has lots of the ball and does well with lots of the ball and breaks teams down. But there might be something to us actually starting fast and getting games won, because if we can't bank on that superior fitness, you know, if we don't necessarily have that to bank on in the same way, then yeah, you know, I don't disagree with the notion that, you know, you get your functional midfield and you get Henderson, Fabinho, Gini in there and they do all the dirty work for you. But we might actually need to be a shade braver for these games. We might just need more of Keita. We might need more of Ox. We might need more of Henderson in the offensive positions, because, yeah, you know, teams are going to sit deep, and we might have to get games won in 60 rather than go into the full 94 and 95, which is what we've been doing all season.
That's an interesting point. I think, you know, for me, I think we probably will need a bit more creativity. I think because, you know, Everton's the one example that we can look back on and analyse. Now, Everton didn't weren't really interested in attacking us for the 80 minutes of that game, give or take. You know, they crafted a couple of opportunities, as all teams will, but they weren't getting bodies forward, they weren't getting numbers forward, they weren't overcommitting in any way, shape or form. So I think even from a low block side, we're going to see less attacking because they haven't got the fitness to do that. They know how important it is to just sit and defend. And they're not going to be able to get forward as often as they probably would because they know that they need to get back. So that what that will mean is it almost plays into this game of chess, doesn't it? It's like, well, if you're just sitting back more because you haven't got the fitness, then it stands to reason that you're right, Paul. We're going to need more creative players there to recycle the ball on the edge of the box. We didn't see enough of Fabinho doing that. You know, when Fabinho's at his absolute best, he's pinning them in on the edge of our attacking third, their defensive third, and he's winning the ball back. That wasn't happening against Everton. You know, the midfielders were too distant and we weren't winning the ball back high enough up the pitch and being able to turn that into attack. So that's what we're going to need. Naby Keita, for me, is probably one of the players. What I find interesting as well is that Klopp literally came out and said after the game, Naby got in there because of how good he's been performing in training. Now, is that the kick up the arse that Wijnaldum needed? Or is that just to say, look, Wijnaldum's not actually in that good form in training, so why would I start him just because he always starts? That's stupid. Yeah. Naby's playing well in training. He's got the start. He played well again. He should get the start against Crystal Palace if he's fit and able to. And this hopefully will be the start of that run in the team that he's needed for since he's joined the club.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more on that. And, George, is anyone else really, you know, aside from the obvious, I think we're all in agreement. If Salah's fit, we'd all have him in there. Is there anyone else in terms of the rotation you'd like to see back in there outside the obvious? You know, we know what our first choice back four, back five is. Really, I mean, is it just as simple as the front three, and then what would you go Fabinho, DM, push Henderson back there?
No, I keep Fabinho there for the same reason that we're talking about keeping Keita there, because it's about getting a player that's somewhat, again, form is just weird to say because there is no form, but it's about getting him back to how he was and to the kind of consistency and levels he is capable of. So I'd keep him in there pretty much again until fitness says otherwise, and I think Keita, like Chris said, deserves the start. And I think comments that Klopp makes sometimes is again aimed kind of at the fan base of, you know, we don't see everything that goes on. We see a Sunday or a Saturday and now every day, whatever games are on, and we see what the media team decide to show us. They're not going to show us training full game, because at the same time, clubs can go and watch that who are playing. But the fact is, we don't see everything. So to judge a player based solely on, like, you know, the 10 minutes that he's appeared or blah, blah, blah through the season, no, we don't know the full extent. So for Klopp to say, you know, he's putting in a shift, he's working incredibly hard in training, gives you the fan to say, listen, I see this guy pretty much every day. every week, and I know what he's about. That's why he gets them starts. So I think that, as much as it is towards Genie, is also kind of towards the fan base as well.
Yeah, look, Ross, I think we just need more ball carriers in the middle. It's all well and good, because we use Trent a lot. And that's fair. There's a reason for that, because he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But you need an extra dimension, and that's the one thing that Naby Keita in particular brings to you. And Oxlade-Chamberlain does this as well. And that's why I was a little I'm disappointed when I see Ox come into the front three, because I just don't think he's anywhere near as effective when he does that. But you can see, again, in the Everton game, all the dangerous situations that we crafted was either Naby Keita gliding through the midfield or Oxlade-Chamberlain doing the same. I want to see at least one of them two in the midfield.
Yeah, you need different options, don't you? And, that element of surprise, or, just having a plan B, basically. You cut out the fullbacks, which we didn't have Robbo yesterday. Have someone else who can provide something else. But what a headache to have. Like, we sat here deciding, Naby Keita or Genie Wijnaldum. It's not the worst two players in the world, is it?
No, God, no.
It's a sign of where Liverpool are at. It might come down to fitness or how they're doing. But, I think you could sit here, I think I said to someone yesterday, whatever side Klopp puts out, he played Minamino yesterday. If he did that again on Wednesday night, I'm fine with it. Mm. Everyone prefers Mohamed Salah, but there's a right and reason, like George says, why these players are being picked, why they're being put in the forefront. And there's also the addition of having five substitutions. So you can look at the starting lineup and go, oh my God, he's not started. Well, again, there's decisions behind that. You've got five substitutes. Genie Wijnaldum can come on with 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 70 minutes. He's still getting game time. He's still got a great player in your hands. You've still got a tactical analysis behind it all.
The big talking point, though, the big pressure I think we've really got it, Chris, is in the left back position. Now, and we don't quite know where Andy Robertson's at. The problem is that if he's not fit enough for this game, it's a big ask to throw him in, even with another week's training, to throw him in against Man City for his first game back in after all this time. So I guess, we posed this on the final word of what could Liverpool have done differently for the Everton game? And there wasn't too much in the way of choices, but, we don't know what Matip, if you play, which means that if Matip's out, Gomez, and you play Gomez at left back, it means Lovren has to start. Which I know we've slaughtered Lovren a lot of times. I think that's a different conversation, and maybe we'll park that, because I think it's a bit of low hanging fruit to nail Dejan Lovren. But the question again really is the left back situation. If we've got a couple of days to prepare, would you rather see Joe Gomez there again, putting aside the centre-back issue, or would you rather us do something a little bit different or maybe out of the ordinary?
No, I think I'd rather play Joe Gomez at left-back again. And if Salah's fit, this is probably the team that I'd go for. Mm-hmm. I'd throw Joe Gomez in at left-back. Hopefully Matip's okay and the rest of the back four can stay the same. I'd play Hendo in the six. I'd play Keita and Ox ahead of him. I play Salah on the right-hand side. And I say Salah because I think it's important. If there's no Salah, I don't think I'd do that midfield, because mm-hmm. I don't think I'd play that midfield with Minamino on the right-hand side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if Salah would play on the right-hand side, Bobby up top, Mane on the left, and that midfield of Hendo, Keita and Ox, that's where my creativity is coming from, which is why I'm okay with playing Joe Gomez at left-back.
Yeah. I think that's interesting.
If Matip's not all right, would anyone play Fabinho at centre-half instead of Dejan Lovren with that midfield you just said?
Lovren's a better centre-back than Fabinho. He just is.
I don't think... I just don't want to watch Dejan Lovren play for Liverpool particularly anymore, but... I don't think you can possibly do that while Dejan Lovren's fit, because he's part of the squad. He's there. If you don't want Dejan Lovren there, then get rid of him, release him. You know what I mean? But I just don't think they're gonna do that. But I agree with Chris's point there in terms of the creativity. I would do anything but play Gomez at left back, because I think it's too important how our fullbacks play, that I would rather see Genie Wijnaldum play out there, which sounds a bit mad and a bit off the cuff, but he's played as a winger. He's a bit like Milner, isn't he? He's done all the same jobs that James Milner's done throughout his career. It would be a bit unfamiliar to him, but I think he could cope, particularly in the Palace game, and I think where we're going to need to be attacking. But I hadn't considered Chris's take on that. That you're right, is that if you can't put someone more attacking down that side, then maybe you do just go for a bit more balls out in the middle of the park. I mean, the alternative, Georgia, is Klopp has got no problem putting people in, putting lads in if he thinks they're ready. This might just be one of those situations where we do go for a Yasser Lerici, or we do go for an Adam Lewis. So, and we trust, you know, if we're going to trust Dejan Lovren, an actual centre-back, then maybe we do just put our trust into an actual left-back, albeit an untried one.
Yeah, I think I'd rather see a young left-back step into that role and have Joe Gomez in the centre-back position. Just because I think, again, now's the time. When are you else going to get this? What we kind of said about the FA Cup when we rolled the kids out against Everton is, when else are you going to be able to do this? But it needs must. So I'd rather see that and kind of keep that sort of familiarity positionally for the players, rather than kind of, I mean, I just don't see it doing Joe Gomez any good sticking him out on the left. It completely nullifies him as a player, and it leaves us vulnerable at a centre-back position if we're playing Lovren there. So I'd much rather see one of the young lads step in at left-back. And I think Klopp, again, as the manager, we know he'll do that.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, I'm not arsed either way. You know, I don't know, but like,
you just got footies back, aren't you, mate?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, let's not overlabor. Let's not fall into this, like, the negativity trap of it all. Is that you're right? But on our understanding of how Liverpool play and how we've seen us play, I think it's important that we get someone who's more offensive in the left back position. But also, Chris is dead right. We could just throw more attacking midfield out and just be loads more attacking in that way. This is the thing. This is not like this is not Brendan Rodgers in charge. This is not, for us, not Roy Hodgson in charge for us. This is not Liverpool of 5 or 10 years ago. We're dead good, and we've got loads of really good players. There's loads of whatever we choose to do, it's gonna be. I'm just the footy's back. I'm just happy to see whatever it is, whatever we throw out. I'm gonna support and get behind regardless. As much as that's a bit of like cack analysis. We could have done that in the first 5 minutes. Welcome to the build-up show. We're not asked what Jürgen does. It's going to be bossed regardless, and we're going to support it because we're all fans. Thanks for subscribing, everyone.
I think watch along.
I think it changes once the league's sewn up, and I think George is right. You might see a Yasser Lerici or someone younger come in, because you could not only think about this season, but I think next season, you know, especially with James Milner's contract, what are you doing for the future? You can't buy anyone, which, you know, we're clearly not going to do. You need to start thinking about next season as well. Get Yasser Lerici or someone, and Adam Lewis, some experience, like we're going to do with Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones. Just get them built up ready for next season.
There's a balance in act, I think, and it's and footy manager best highlights this, Chris, because obviously you've got your little green ratings for how well players are suited to certain positions, and Klopp will look at this and say, well, who are my options at left back? So if I put Gomez in at left back, what does that do to my options at centre half? How much stronger or weaker does that make that position? And then you know, because for example, if you put Adam Lewis or Lerici or Nico Williams at left back, does the damage that does to your left back position, but you know, you're strengthening your centre half partnership by putting Gomez in there, but is the balance that your left back's so much weaker that you're better off being weaker across, but it's spread out across more positions? That's probably the balance enough that really the Klopp's going to be working out in the next day or so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, that's kind of exactly how I think when I'm putting a footy manager team together. I'd rather the base standard be like fucking 80% across the board than 100% here and 50 down here on the left, in the left back position. I'm more of the, but again, it's not surprising, I'm the lad who said Gomez should start.
Yeah, but that's the thing, and the thing that's worth remembering, Georgia, about these youngsters, whether they get the game or not, they might not be at it now. But you're dead right, they have to play games, and the more games they play, the better they'll get, or they'll play to the point where we realise they're not good enough. But, you know,
Trent came in again at fucking Old Trafford.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Let's not remember this. This is Anfield against Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Like, if he thinks they're good enough, he'll play them.
Yeah.
I'd kind of go against what Crystal said with Fussy Man, is I'd rather be weaker at left back than weak at centre back. That's one place that I'd do not want any weaknesses is between that, because then you're either stretching Virgil and he's not really concentrating on what his job is because he's too busy covering what he's doing next to him, or you're just completely open and Dejan Lovren's just on the floor. And I'd, I'd rather it be, you know, this left back position was slightly weaker. You've got Mane in front of him, you've got Virgil next to him. Mm-hmm. You've got a CDM of whether it's Fabinho, Henderson covering. Like, there's no other kind of position where you can be as well protected kind of than that left back position. Whereas if you put someone like Lovren in the centre back and you've got that, that puts more fear into.
Can I just say this on the Lovren stuff? Because one thing I would say about Dejan Lovren, I did say this on the Final Word show, is that when you Dejan's built into a game and you tell him what his job is and you're very clear about what you expect from him. Look, Dejan Lovren doesn't have stinkers every time he takes the field for Liverpool, but when he loses his head and he gets embroiled in stuff, I think that's when you lose Dejan Lovren, and it's to the detriment of the team. But look, Dejan Lovren can come into this game and have a perfectly fine performance. You know, as much as we can have our opinions, I think we're all agreed that, you know, when eventually Dejan Lovren will leave, and I will hold no ill feeling towards him, but I would rather us have a better, you know, player than Dejan Lovren in our squad. But there's nothing to say Lovren comes in and doesn't have an absolutely fine, or in fact a really good game, because he's had plenty of them. He's had more good games for Liverpool than he's had bad games. So it's probably not, this is not us putting Sepp Vandenberg in at centre-half, who himself might well come good in the future, but we've got no evidence to suggest that he's anywhere near ready enough for this. So there's worse things we can have. We are in a relatively privileged position to have someone of that quality should we need it. But again, for me, it boils down to our tactical approach, I think, will be the deciding factor on this. You know, he trusts Lovren. He likes Lovren. And I think if you tell Dejan Lovren, you've got 2 days now to get him prepped for it. What you're saying, you're just going to sit in. You're going to play off, mate. Sit off. Don't engage. You know, this is how you approach this particular player. Then I can't see it being as much of an issue. Hopefully, touch wood. Fingers crossed.
The fear with that is the opposition players he's going to go up against. So Zaha's down that left hand side as well. You know, if he does Trent's now further up the field, like he's covered him. And equally, Benteke. We've seen with Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison. You know, we slate Benteke, but he's a big physical player. If Lovren decides to pick a fight with him, I'm not confident he's going to come up on top of it.
Is Lovren does suit certain games. Certain games, very few special games.
The one where he starts on the bench.
He's on the special team in NFL. Occasionally, you need to roll him out because we need to. But this is not one of them. We saw it against Watford. Is you've got Troy Deeney up there, absolutely bullied him, said, oh, you want to fight? Okay, come on. And he just rinsed them. Benteke can do exactly the same, because Lovren will go in thinking that he can have a fight and he won't win. Yeah. And on top of that, you've then got the pace of Zaha or IU, and he's done on both fronts.
Yeah, the problem when you look at it like this is you're forgetting about the other six players in front of them. Yeah. You know, and I think, for me, I think Lovren can do a job, but, you know, I'm going in pretty hard on him. But as Paul said, he's not a terrible defender. He makes poor choices every now and again. The fact of the matter is he's a good fourth choice centre half for us. Matip's got a sore toe. I mean, let's be honest. If it's a choice between Matip strapping his toe up and playing or Dejan Lovren, I'm going Matip strap your toe up.
But
I don't think even if Lovren does play, it's not the end of the fucking world.
But listen, Chris, what we're saying all this, Lovren might have been in line to start this game anyway. Like, no, Joe Matip shouldn't. Yeah, but Joe Matip, none of us would have had Joe Matip to start the derby.
No, not a chance.
Where starts that game? Now, yeah. it might just be a simple thing. Of Klopp's plan was Matip for the derby, Lovren for Palace, and Gomez for Man City. You know, with maybe a couple of subs. You know, 20 minutes or so here and there, just to get some minutes in between. That might have been Jurgen Klopp's plan all along. So Lovren might have been starting this game regardless. Just to throw that out there, because obviously we've talked about this. He wants to get minutes. He wants to get players up and running in the season, because we've already seen we might well need them. So there's no point in not. So, you know, Gomez played, got a lot of time out on that left hand side. He'll have had a good run. Lovren only got the end. We might actually need to just start Lovren, which might inform all the other decisions around there. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, interesting in terms of our obviously form against Crystal Palace. We're in great form in recent games overall. But the home form against Palace has actually been a little bit of a weakness for us, really. So it's something we definitely need to get a grip on. And look, I think we'd all agree we'll all back Liverpool, because as much as we're maybe feeling the Everton game's just taking the edge off our unbridled enthusiasm, all it's going to take is seeing that first goal back. All it's going to take is seeing that first socially distanced celebration. It's going to see that first cut to the wind rustling the banners on the cop. The first cut to all the fans at home on Sky on the Zoom calls jumping up and down silently. Or realistically, for you guys at home, because you're fans of this channel, is watching me and Chris bouncing around the studio doing our fan zone commentary.
Did you get on to the fact that Palace didn't have enough fans for their Zoom wall the other day? So in the very bottom right hand corner, there was just a still image of a fan celebrating, as opposed to it being a Zoom thing. That's pretty much. I did actually take a photograph of it, so I do have one. But yeah, so hopefully it'll be more like that.
I like that. Yeah, definitely. As mentioned there, do come and check us out. We will be live from about very least half an hour, possibly actually 45 minutes before kickoff, if all things go well, on this channel. Make sure you subscribe and make sure you click the notification bell as well for that. But yeah, we're going to be doing another Fan Zone watch along commentary. Me and Chris in the studio having a good laugh, being the most biased commentators you can possibly imagine towards the Mighty Reds, and giving you choice between what Martin Tyler. And if it's on another channel, you've got Steve McManaman's a good footballer, but he's no Chris Pajac on
comms. I quite like Steve McManaman, I like him on comms.
Yeah, he's not as good as Chris Pajac. Tune in for that. Other than that, if you want more from us, you can join up. You can get a YouTube membership right now where you get access to custom emotes to use in the live stream and in the comments in general. And you get access to the final word shows, which we're doing after each game. If you want more than that, go to the redmentv.com. You get you get all those things. You get the final word show, but you also get the Reds News Roundup show. You get the Around the League show. And you get a whole host of back catalogue chock filled with Liverpool player and manager interviews from both past and present. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us. But actually, before we go, anyone want to be brave enough to throw a score prediction in there? Georgia?
No, because I said 4-0 for the derby and we all know what happened there. So no score prediction, just a nice 3 points, please.
Ross?
2-0 and 2-1 at Liverpool, please.
Oh wow! And what did you say? What did you say there, Chris?
1-0 Liverpool.
1-0 Liverpool. I'll take a 3-0 to the Reds. Leave yours in the comments below. As I say, sign up, and we'll see you back here live on Wednesday evening for the game.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.